I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ooh, okay. That's a little bit of a tree rattler right there.
That's a little bit of Nelly. Hot in.
And.
So hot in here.
John Harbaugh fired by the Baltimore Ravens. And look, we got all kinds. We spent a lot of time there on the Golden State Warriors there in the crossover. There will be more coming up. Nick Friedell is going to join us in exactly 2 hours. John Feliciano will join us at 5. But we got a playoff game this week. And there's a few things that I think we want to hack out, I want to spend a minute with that.
Let's stay here.
By the way, Robert Saleh has also received the official request from the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
They would like to interview Robert Saleh.
And he said, I'm a little busy, guys. I'm a little tied up here.
Did y'all see the Robert Saleh news yesterday, though? Robert hired a new agent yesterday. He joined the Wasserman Group. Now, I don't know anything about whatever that means. I just know that he hired a new agent. And you don't hire a new agent unless you're looking for something different to happen out in the whole agent world. You don't hire a new agent to just let's just stay exactly where we are and do nothing different.
Well, unless he's trying to rework his deal, and even at that, wouldn't hire a new agent to rework a deal with the Niners, who, if he wants to stay, they're going to pay him whatever he needs to be paid to stay. But yeah, you're right, Mark. You hire an agent so he can go out there and shop you a little bit. And if you're Robert Saleh and Arizona's the first one to say, yeah, we want to talk to you, all right, go ahead and hold on. Let me put you on hold. Hi, line 2, Baltimore? Yeah.
I'd probably take any interview. I probably would.
Right.
I mean, unless I was boy, that the Bidwells are among the most absurd owners in all of sports. So no, thank you. Sometimes there is power in that. I do think.
Not looking so thirsty.
Well, you know, Ben Johnson did this. Ben Johnson, when he was still the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, teams, I can't remember exactly who reached out to him. Was it the Commanders? I can't remember exactly who it was, but a team wanted him, and he's I don't want to be your coach. So I'm just going to be the Lions offensive coordinator again. And it does make there's some juice there where you're dude, I know my time is coming. I don't need to jump. I don't need to jump at you. And Robert Saleh, I do think, is one of those guys. You know, last time he had to jump, and he ended up with a ridiculous franchise, and it went ridiculously. And the Cardinals are the same thing. So I don't know. Maybe he would just look at him and say no thanks. In general terms, though, I'm take any interview, right? What's the harm in talking to everybody and building as many relationships as you can?
I mean, the only harm would be it takes you away from what you're trying to do right now, which is win a game in Philadelphia. And I don't know if the interview would be this week, or I mean, if it's today and you're off, the players are off, the coaches aren't off, and I'm sure it's not that big of a deal if you wanted to fly to Arizona tonight and have an interview in the morning and then fly back and get ready for you know, a game on Sunday at Philly. So it's not a huge deal, especially when it's Arizona, you know, and if they really want you, they can fly out here and meet with you here.
I mean, you just do a Zoom, like whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it was the San Francisco Giants, just do a Zoom.
It's not bad. Yeah,
just take a look at somebody on a computer screen and make a decision on it.
John Harbaugh was the second longest tenured coach in the National Football League behind only Mike Tomlin, 2008. 180, 113.
That is a long time in the NFL to hold a job.
In a winning percentage of 614. And a bowl, 12 playoff berths.
Where does it leave Shanahan in terms of tenure?
He's behind Tomlin, Reed. End of list. He's tied with McVay and McDermott.
Okay.
Those three are all 2017.
Okay.
And I don't know whose hire date was first, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
And none of those rest are in any sort of danger.
Right.
I mean, Tomlin, I guess, you know, there had been rumors he could go do TV or something, but now they're hosting a playoff game on Monday night.
Yep.
So, like, probably not.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, those guys are all
back.
I mean,
that's not what Pittsburgh does. They don't fire coaches, ever. They've had three coaches in, like, literally 50 years, I think.
Is McDermott not in any trouble if they lose in Jacksonville?
I don't think
he
is.
Much like Josh Allen would be kind of under fire if they lose in Jacksonville.
I mean, like, okay, so you're asking that in maybe two different forms. I've not heard anything that would suggest he would be. Should he be is maybe a different question. Because I do feel like that organization on some level has kind of failed Josh Allen. And the narrative will be the opposite if they go lose this game in Jacksonville this week. It'll be like, there's no Patrick and no Lamar, and you still couldn't make it through the playoffs. But to the point that I'm over here getting ready to make.
Yep.
As much as so many of you would love quarterbacks to just go out on a field and control the whole game, they can't do that. It's not possible, even the best in the game. Mahomes will watch playoff games. Burrow will watch the playoffs. Lamar will watch the playoffs. Josh Allen is an underdog, or is he? No, he's a one-point favorite.
Yep.
Whatever. Josh Allen is the sixth seed. And why? There are circumstances in every one of those cities that will tell you that having a great quarterback on its own is not enough. And the Bills don't have a great defense. They don't have a great receiving core. I love their running back. But, like, outside of Josh, what do you love about the Bills? What are you like, boy, they are really good at now fill in the blank.
Yeah, not a lot. They're good at having their quarterback make big plays in big moments. And
they're good at their quarterback.
I had Khalil Shakir this year on fantasy, and every third game he would have an explosive. And then the other games, they wouldn't throw him the ball at all. They have a good tight end, Dalton Kincaid. When he plays, he played 12 games. And beyond that, your receiving core of, you know, Keon Coleman, Yon, and, you know, I mentioned Shakir, Josh Palmer, Tyrell Shavers. So for me, it's not as much of a McDermott issue as it is a roster build issue. But
agreed.
You look at Buffalo, and they've won 10 or more games in seven straight years.
Well, they are. I mean, he is great. He is great. And their division for a long time now has been a joke.
Yep, not anymore.
And now there's another good team there, and look what happened. They lost. They lost to them. So, I like, the Bills, that's an interesting case study, and we do hear the Bills come up a lot. We do hear Josh Allen come up a lot because we're a market that sits here and has a debate about its own quarterback, and that's the name that you hear come up. I actually do think a lot of people think he's the best player in the NFL. Like, not the best team, but if you were doing a, like, let's just draft the league. Is that the number one overall guy? Is it Josh?
It's possible, yeah. Very well. I mean,
hear that answer, I think, the most.
You might go defense and take Myles Garrett.
Maybe.
I mean,
you could.
Honestly, I mean, you're allowed to. He's still at the peak of his powers.
He's incredible.
You know, you got to have a good tackle, a good quarterback, and a good edge. And the Niners have a good tackle when healthy. They have a good quarterback, and they don't have their edge because he's also hurt.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So I think this is a great year to talk about the quarterbacks who are and who are not in the playoffs. And I think that this is tailor-made for you because you get so mad when people talk about how one quarterback beat the other quarterback, even though they're never on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like when Caleb Williams lost at Levi's Stadium a couple of weeks ago. Because 38 points wasn't enough?
Nope, not enough.
And like, you know what I mean? Did Caleb Williams lose the game? And so then we hear a lot of that come up on Saturday night. The 49er offense scored 3 points. Ugh.
Brock Purdy lost the game.
If only they had a quarterback who could have, you know, elevated his team. So I heard this morning. Driving around, getting a little workout in. Had to stop by. Saw you in the aisles. Got some milk.
Attaboy.
Got the kid to school early. He wanted to do open gym before class today as the kids got back to school today. And I heard this from one of our favorites. Who the hell doesn't love listening to Brian Baldinger? Okay? This caught my ear. Maybe it'll catch yours. Here's Baldy on the 49er quarterback on Saturday. 3 points. Here's Baldy.
You know what's wild is Brock Purdy actually played great. He played great, and they scored 3 points, which means Seattle's defense, it's just a bad matchup. McCaffrey doesn't have that ball go through his hands at the goal line. They probably score a touchdown right there. Maybe it's a different game. You know, come down the field. They had one play of 20 yards to Kittle. Like, there's no holes to get the ball. I mean, he's making all the right reads. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. That's the best defense. I mean, Houston's good, but what they do is they're different than Houston in that they sit back in this cover two shell. That you could run all the motions and shifts you want. They just sit there. They just let you do all your things. And then they match you up. And the ball can't, it's almost impossible to get the ball over their heads. And so there is no, now maybe Pearsall, if he's out there, maybe they find a way to get the ball. Maybe if Trent's there, they have an extra tick to get the ball down the field, whatever. But they're very difficult to penetrate.
So today's a little bit like a staircase on this show. We got all kinds of stuff that we want to play with.
And that's
with
a great breakdown right there what I saw when I watched that game.
Yeah.
So the ball snapped, and they're chilling. They're just going to wait. Oh, you're pre-snap this, and you're that, and you're motion, and then this. Oh, you're going to throw it over here? Okay, we're going to run up, and we're going to tackle you, and we're not going to miss the tackle, and you'll get 2 yards, maybe four. You might lose six, but yeah, go ahead and do that 13 more times.
Can we play with that statement, though, just for a little bit? I would love, 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 love to get some reaction from some of our listeners on simply the statement that Baldy made right off the top there. He goes, you know what's wild? Brock Purdy played great, and they scored 3 points. Do you agree or disagree with that? So let's take some calls, first of all, right now, if anybody wants to weigh in on that. Quote, unquote, you know what's wild? Brock Purdy played great, and they scored 3 points. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take your calls. Lucas is all healthy and back to the group today. And one of the first things he did was text us this morning and say, I'm very frustrated with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy in that game. And the Kyle Shanahan went, I sort of nodded, and I'm like, I get it. You and I both yesterday were like,
yep,
try some new things, and you waited too long to do it. Get Brock out of the pocket. But I was like, what specifically did Brock not do, or how did he frustrate you? And he's like, you got to let it rip. And I'm like, to who? Do you want the quarterback to make throws that aren't there? Do you want him to, you know what I mean? Do you want him to throw through people, 300-pound people who are in his, I'm asking, genuinely, what is it that you wanted him to do that was available that he didn't do?
There are a couple plays out there, and we talked about the 4th-and-1 yesterday where you had not one but two guys open on that play, and you didn't make the play on 4th-and-1, but beyond that, in general, he was under siege, and they didn't have anybody open.
I'd love to hear from some of you on that. Agree or disagree? Brock Purdy played great, and the Niners scored 3 points. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
No, come on. Not Harbaugh. Anything but Harbaugh. Oh, yikes. Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that one ended up working out pretty well for us, and you nailed it during the crossover.
Thank you, yeah.
John Harbaugh has been fired by the Ravens. The coaching cycle is underway, and Robert Saleh is a part of this whole damn thing. And that's a juicy job.
Juicy.
And real juicy
you'd
job.
You put that at the top, even above New York. And so
Lamar, I mean.
Yeah, there's 7 jobs open now, I think.
Is that right?
We're at 7.
Feels right.
Baltimore, New York, Tennessee, and the Raiders.
Arizona.
That's 5.
Atlanta.
That would be 6. And I thought there was one more.
You're probably right. What else is open? Oh, Cleveland.
Never mind.
It's always open.
There are 6 jobs open. Never mind.
No, if you're going to call the Raiders a job, then the Browns are a job.
I mean, at least you live in Vegas.
Like, yeah.
Both are broken. Both are poorly owned. Yeah. Neither has a quarterback, although Cleveland has 5. And I think for me, the tiebreaker is Vegas.
Would you rather live in Vegas or Phoenix?
Scottsdale. Vegas.
Would you?
What? I mean...
Mr. Golfer over there? You want to live in Scottsdale?
Phoenix, yeah, sneaky bad traffic.
So what, I mean?
Vegas, too. Unless you give me a helicopter.
Vegas outside. You know what I love about Vegas? We all love Vegas. Y'all have been to one street.
Oh, not one me. I've street. Been all over that
no,
place.
But like
yes,
the,
in general.
The rest of Vegas is not, that's not a great place. It's not like, I'm not taking a shot at it. It's not awful.
It just depends.
You know why we like Vegas? It's because we've only been there for 3 days at the most.
Exactly. And we've been to one street that you can't even walk, by the way. Stop trying when you're drunk. You're not going to make it to the other end of that street.
A lot of escalators.
My God.
You got Fremont Street downtown. You've got Henderson.
I knew
lovely this time of year.
Henderson.
Lovely this time of year. You got Red Rock. I stayed out there.
I love cities like that. You know, it's growing fast, Bill. You should see the
sneaky
urban sprawl.
Bad traffic there too.
Yeah, I mean, on that street, sure.
No, in the whole town. Like, to get from one end to the other.
They're both hot as hell. They've both got great golf courses and a bad NFL team and things to do.
But Vegas, at least you have the number one overall pick, and you would think that you'd get a couple, 2-3 years to try to make that work.
Maybe.
But then again, I need you to meet me. Let's talk about the draft. Where do you want to meet, Mr. Davis? How about P.F. Chang's? I'll be right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have those in Scottsdale, too, though.
True.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Keep working. Work on your material. But, yeah.
The bad NFL owner rankings would involve 3 of those.
Easily.
Openings.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Arizona, and Vegas.
Sure. The Giants ownership is... It's fine.
Sure.
It's fine. The Falcons ownership, okay. You know, you work with that. Ravens front office is, you know, I mean, I know that like people use, that used to be a very, very dirty word, the Ravens ownership, because of the relocation. But whatever. The front office, that's a healthy group. And then I already forgot the other team that you brought up.
Tennessee.
The Tennessee Titans. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Sure.
You're right. 3 of them. 3 of them don't count. So anyway, but we were talking about this comment from Brian Baldinger. I want you to pay real close attention to the first sentence now. Brian Baldinger this morning on with the Joes, on with the Morning Roast.
You know what's wild is Brock Purdy actually played great. He played great, and they scored 3 points, which means Seattle's defense, it's just a bad matchup. McCaffrey doesn't have that ball go through his hands at the goal line. They probably score a touchdown right there. Maybe it's a different game. You know, come down the field. They had one play of 20 yards to Kittle. Like, there's no holes to get the ball. I mean, he's making all the right reads. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. That's the best defense. I mean, Houston's good. But what they do is they're different than Houston in that they sit back in this cover 2 shell that you could run all the motions and shifts you want. They just sit there. They just let you do all your things. And then they match you up. And the ball it's almost impossible to get the ball over their heads. And so there is maybe Pearsall, if he's out there, maybe they find a way to get the ball. Maybe if Trent's there, they have an extra tick to get the ball down the field, whatever. But they're very difficult to penetrate.
Here's why I largely agree with him. And I don't know if I would have used the sentence, Brock Purdy played great. I think that when you say that, that's reserved for when there is maximum output. I don't know that I would have said he played great. I definitely would agree, though, that he did not play poorly.
No, he was fine.
And here's what I mean by that. And this is all I'm asking for. If you don't want to say he played great, fine. But when you say The offense scored 3 points, dot, dot, dot. Brock Purdy played bad. I just think it's a lazy take. Let's bring that to all of the teams. All of your Josh Allen takes and your Patrick Mahomes takes and your Joe Burrow takes and your Lamar Jackson takes. Like, I just want all of us. Everyone. When we watch football, it's such a complicated game. We've joked about it. Whenever we hear what quarterbacks actually say in the huddle, it sounds like a different language. There's so much. Remember the thing we did with Cosell? When we read Cosell's notes and I put him on Instagram and everybody's like, what the hell is he talking about? He's watching a completely different game. It's so nuanced. It's so layered. I just think it's lazy when we look at a team and they don't score a lot of points and we go, the quarterback played poorly. Or as Lucas said earlier today, I'm frustrated with Brock. Well, what'd you want him to do? I want him to let it rip. To who?
Right.
You want him to just throw, you want to huck the ball downfield? There's no one there. The time's not there. He's probably going to get cut in half. The ball's going to get picked off. Like, the complementary nature of all of this has got to be a part of the discussion.
Absolutely, and that's where I sometimes bristle at quarterback record, much like I do plus minus. We all use it. We weaponize it for our own purposes where, you know, so-and-so has this quarterback record. Well, the quarterback record is only as good as the team's record, and this is a great example where Brock Purdy was fine. I think Mark Grandy and Grandy's grades, I don't know if we're going to do it today, but I saw on the social media, he gave him a C, and that's about where I would have it. You know, he didn't do anything special. He didn't do anything terrible. They had very little opportunity to do anything, and when he had chances, he made a couple of good throws. He made a couple of throws that weren't great. The one that got tipped and McCaffrey couldn't catch it, is that on Brock? Well, that's debatable. We can say yes or we can say no. Bottom line, they scored 3 points, and I think Grandy had it as a C, and I saw that, and I was like, you know what? That's about right. I wouldn't say that he was good or great. He was fine.
Yeah, like he did. Again, I want to know what was available that he didn't do. Like, this is the kind of, so Boxer and Gerson were, and then we're going to go to the phones. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. I want to say hi to Jerry in South City. Jerry, thank you very much for listening to the show and participating. I really, really appreciate it, even though I totally disagree with what you wrote, and I'm about to read it. So he says, please don't throw Brock Purdy in the same conversation as Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Tom Brady, which, oh, by the way, I didn't really do. Like, there's this thing out there where you're like not allowed to say those names. I'm not telling you he's as good. I'm saying that we do the same thing to those players.
Yeah.
Where like the whole, like, if this is how we're going to view quarterbacks, then why can't I say Patrick Mahomes had an awful year? He went 6-11. Terrible year. Why can't I say that? I'm not saying that, by the way, but that's what we do. I just want more nuance in the conversation. Let me read the rest of the text. He says, please don't throw Brock Purdy in the same conversation as those guys. They would never stink it up in an important game and score 3 points. He played poorly, admit it. If that's your take, you're allowed to have it. I'd love to hear you explain to us in what way. What did he do that was poor?
Right.
And if your answer is 3 points, that's one human being. That's one person. And no, they're not responsible for every single thing that happens offensively. No one person is responsible for the entire operation. If that were the case, this would be a lot easier to predict. We would just be like, that's a better quarterback than that, and then they win, and then we can move on.
Right.
But that's not how it works. So what was available to him that he didn't do that would lead you to the point he stunk it up?
I mean, he stunk it up. I wouldn't say that, but I mentioned the fourth down play, and I looked at the all 22, and you know, you had Kittle open over the middle, and you had the check down to Juice available earlier, and he got back there, and he was being pressured, and he threw it away. And I put that as much on Shanahan as I do on Purdy, because I thought the play call was bad. You tried to go play action on fourth and one, and Seattle didn't even worry about the play action part of it, and they just keyed on Purdy, and he was pressured, and that was about it. Other than that, if you want to go through all his throws, he had a couple that were like the one he threw high to DeMarcus Robinson, and Robinson goes up and catches it right at the line to gain. That throw was a little bit high. he was pressured. And also, could Robinson have gone another yard or two deeper to where, you know, even when he catches it, he gets the first down? And on that one, too, credit Seattle. They were on him.
Absolutely.
He caught it. They tackled him. He was short. And you move on.
And I think that's what Baldy's point actually was. I know that we're focusing on his sentence when he's like, Brock Purdy played great, but they only scored 3 points. If you listen to what he said the entire minute, he's talking about, he's like, that's how good Seattle is. That's how good Seattle is.
Number one in football in points allowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even when you beat him the first time, I think you got 15 points. Is that right?
17.
It was 17-15.
17-13. 17-13
okay.
was the final 15 score.
15 was the one against Arizona where you gave up the safety.
Yeah, 16-15.
Ooh, 17. So you scored 20 points in 8 quarters against Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and you went 1-1.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Remember when the Niners scored 16 against the Cardinals, and people were like, Mac Jones is hot.
Yep.
Anyway.
You got to ride the hot hand.
Yeah, let's go to Leroy in Oakland. Hi, Leroy. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Willard? What's up, Dibs? Always a pleasure to be on. Hey, guys. Baldy was wrong.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why he was wrong. And he missed it. And you guys missed it. And you guys, both of you, are better than that. Yeah. I didn't expect you to miss it.
Oh,
darn it, Leroy.
We'll do better, Leroy, after this call, I promise.
Watch this.
Okay.
I mean,
we will.
Here it is.
Go ahead.
Here it is. The 49ers, Brock Purdy, played bad. But it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault.
Huh.
It was Kyle Shanahan's fault, but it was by design. I was at the game on Sunday against the Chicago Bears, and I watched this 49er team. I watched the energy. I watched everything, and it was fantastic. And to come back a week later and just get 3 points, I was like, something stinks around here, so let me try to find out what it is. And here's what I came to. I hope I don't hurt you guys' ego.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
What the coach, Shanahan, and what the team cares about, sometimes is not what you guys care about. And I'll say it like this. I'm listening to all the reaction from the players, coaches. They didn't seem to care much about the number one seed, being on the road or being at home. They just didn't seem to care much. I'm listening. Hey, we're in the dance. And, you know, I think Kyle Shanahan came in and said, look, we're going to dummy down this playbook a little bit. The goal is to come out of this game healthy.
Which didn't happen.
And let's get ready for the playoffs.
Leroy, do you listen? I'm listening to everything you're saying. Do you really believe that the 49ers as an organization did not care about this game? When I hear you say that, it actually feels like a slap in the face to the Seahawks to me. Because what it sounds like you're saying is the 49ers would have or could have or all of that if they had just cared more, as opposed to...
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Crediting the Seahawks for playing a great game.
I thought Kyle Shanahan could have called a better game, and I thought he just got conservative trying to keep the guys healthy for the playoff run.
Interesting.
They probably cared a little bit, but come on, Willard, Dibs. Hey, they're in the dance. We know how it is, road, home. You can get beat anywhere. You can get beat anywhere. These guys have these long layoffs and rest a week and then come back and play like crap. All I'm saying is what we care about in the media and the fans, sometimes the players don't care about. In this instance, I just don't think Kyle Shanahan basically was like, hey, I'm not going to go in here and just like give it our all. You know, I need to do things to keep these guys healthy for this playoff run. And I think that's why we had 3 points. I don't think it was just Seattle being that dominant. That's all we'll do.
Leroy, thank appreciate you, Leroy. The call
I
so
mean,
much.
And I appreciate you holding our feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tuesday's already our least favorite day of the week, and it just got worse. It just got worse.
Well, actually, and it's about to get even worse.
Oh, God.
Let me say this. Leroy, I loved the call. I loved the effort. I not only disagree, I will take it in the opposite direction and feel with every fiber in my being that I'm right. I think I can very comfortably say that Kyle Shanahan and 49ers players care way more about what happened in that game on Saturday than we do.
Well, possibly.
We kind of wanted to have a week off and stuff, but we didn't get the job done, and we kind of laid down and stuff. We didn't actually really want to win and stuff.
That's their life.
Questionable.
We all went to bed Saturday night. Bummer. Wake up, make breakfast. Like, they probably had a hard time sleeping, whether it was for emotions or the fact that it hurts like hell. Brock Purdy was laid out on the ground at the end of that game with a stinger. Tatum Bethune tore his groin. We have linebackers who are going to start this weekend who weren't even on the team 48 hours ago or we've never heard of. Like, I think that's honestly, like, Leroy, I love Leroy the listener.
It's a great call.
But that's a
you don't love Leroy the caller?
Well, I love Leroy the person, the caller, the listener.
Thank you.
All of it. But what a wild thought. We care more?
It's pretty wild.
We care more about the outcome of that game than the Niners themselves?
And look around the league and look at the Chargers who, they didn't really care about winning that game. They started Trey Lance and they could have started Herbert to improve their seed, but they're like, nah,
we're cool. On the line.
Philadelphia could have done the same thing. Like, we want to go out there and win this game and get momentum. And they sat everyone, and the Niners played everyone they had healthy. And as I go through the game for a third and a fourth time, what you see is Seattle comes up on every defensive play, and they tackle. And the Niners had no ability to get down over the top, no Pearsall, no Trent, whatever you want to blame. Brock Purdy had no time to go back seven steps. Think about Chicago, where he'd get back in the pocket and he'd look left, he'd look right, he'd look in the middle, he'd look left, he'd look right again, and then he thought, you know what, I'll just check this down. He had time.
Yep.
They had no time.
Oh,
on
by
Saturday.
The way, that Chicago team was a team that embarrassed Philadelphia on Black Friday. So we're going to need reminders, I think, throughout the week that this is a week-to-week league. We get so caught up in the last thing we saw, and it's why betting is so hard. Because we get caught
Betting's
up.
Hard.
It is. We get caught up in what we most
trades are hard
and what we most recently saw, and we decide that's fact, and then we bring that to the next week, and then we go, oh, why does it look different? Because it always does. It always does. But we'll get to that a little bit later today and later in the week, because I do think that the 49er fan base feels like you agree, like there's a little bit of a defeatist sort of a mindset right now. Like the Niners are just going to get their doors blown off.
Right.
And maybe they will.
They might.
I don't know. But the idea that, like, the Niners just don't even have a chance to win this football game, I think is also funny.
Yeah.
Like, of course they do.
And I always think about the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief model. Mm. And it feels to me like a lot of Niner fans are in acceptance, which is, we just, all these injuries, we're not good enough. And we have to go to Philadelphia and that crowd and all those Philadelphian middle fingers. And, Brock Purdy, boy, he turned back into a pumpkin. And we may not have Pearsall. And you know what? I've accepted the fact that this was a fun year, 12-5. We're going to get beat in Philly. But you know what? We'll get them next year.
And we're just protecting emotions. That's all that is.
It's the five stages.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't need to be in full grief yet. They're in the playoffs and they might win. Like, you never know. Like, any given Sunday is a phrase, right? So, anyway, and the Brock thing, just to kind of circle back to that, because we want to keep going with the phones. I know we get feet held to the fire again every time that Brock Purdy's name comes up, and then you start talking about the other great quarterbacks in the league. It's not about comparing Brock Purdy to anybody. It's more about comparing situations and wondering why we all process them the way we do. In other words, when Josh Allen gets sacked 8 times, turns the ball over twice, and loses on primetime football against the Houston Texans, why doesn't it sound the same? I don't ever hear anybody come out of a Sunday and be like, Josh Allen played like crap, or as you put it, turned into a pumpkin.
Yep.
I don't ever hear that. That's the difference. It's not about comparing Brock to Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. It's talking about situations. I watched Brock Purdy go 6-11 last year and had to fight fans all offseason about how, quote unquote, Brock Purdy went 6-11.
Shouldn't give him that contract.
It's not going to happen to Patrick Mahomes this offseason, even though it happened. But I won't hear that. Nobody will do that.
Well, because he got hurt. He got badly hurt.
For the last game, just like Brock
did. He missed three games.
Brock missed two.
Yep.
No one will ever say that.
Brock missed eight this year.
Exactly.
And you know where he ranks in QBR? And that's ESPN's quarterback ranking metric?
I do. He's number two in the entire NFL.
Tied with Jordan Love.
Yep.
Behind only the MVP in weight, Drake May.
I actually don't think he's going to win it, but I hear you. I think Stafford's going to win it.
You realize that Stafford has never in his whole career gotten even one first place vote for MVP.
He's going through this
year. Think about that.
I know.
He's never even gotten a first place vote. I think Drake May is going to win it just because this is one of those years where...
Side bet.
It's kind of like a fun, funky year. I'll tell you what. We'll make a side bet when you get our other bet with those midday guys paid off.
Okay. That's on me now?
Hold their feet to the fire. Well, Steiny's afraid of you and Guru respects you.
Okay, but I'm going to get Leroy in Oakland to do it. Hey, Leroy, I bet you're still listening. I need you to call tomorrow, maybe even during the crossover. We don't usually do calls during the crossover.
We'll do his call.
But Leroy, I need you to call out Steiny and Goo for not being more aggressive in setting a date to buy us dinner. Can we set that up? We need that. Because he was really good at holding people's feet to the fire. He was right. Our egos are in the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, it's out of control. And I'm going through the game for a fourth time, and I'm just going to look at all Brock Purdy's dropbacks.
Are you really?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you tend to talk a lot. And I can both listen to you and watch plays. And so far, watching Brock Purdy, not a lot of guys open.
Yeah.
Like, Seattle's rushing four. And getting pressure, which means it's your five against their seven, and their seven are better than your five.
Baldy says these are all true. The Niners scored three, but Brock Purdy played great. Let's talk about it. Do you agree or disagree? Vinny, hang out. We're going to get to you coming up in just a sec. You'll lead us off. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibbs.